Welcome to my Soul Series. Soul Series is part of Oprah and Friends, exclusively on XM Radio Channel 156. And you can listen to the entire Soul Series collection on xmradio.com/Oprah. It's uplifting, enlightening, truly powerful. Welcome to Soul Series.
Hi, welcome to our Soul Series. I'm joined by Elizabeth Lesser, who's author of The Seeker's Guide and a wonderful book called Broken Open that you're going to be hearing more about because we're going to have her on The Oprah Show talking about it in January. But we're here to talk about aha moments that so many of you have experienced as you've been listening to our Soul Series or you did a New Earth webcast. Elizabeth was a big part of that webcast because she is the brains behind the workbook every week, and also because she, for the past 30 years, has run the Omega Institute, which is the premier adult education spirituality center in the United States, where people go to learn how to meditate, they go to take classes in creativity, they go and listen to other wonderful seekers and spiritualists talk about this path that we're all on. So welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, I didn't ask you last week. I meant to. What was your great spiritual aha moment? What was the big moment of awakening for you? What caused it?
Well, I was always a seeker from the time I was a little kid. And I had many, many different teachers and books. So if I had to pick one, you know, I was raised in a very social activist family. Mm-hmm. And in my family, it was, if you're not doing good for the world, right, you're a bad person. Mm-hmm. And it was very much like, those people are good, help them. Those people are bad. And in college, I started reading a very little known, but should be better known, American spiritual teacher named Howard Thurman.
I love Howard Thurman.
Yeah, and he was one of Dr. Martin Luther King's teachers.
That's right.
Ministers. And I remember
he wrote the original Conversations with God.
Yeah.
Wrote a book called Conversations with God. Yes.
Well, I remember where I was sitting. I was on a bus in New York City because I was at Columbia at the time, and it was the height of the civil rights and anti-Vietnam time. Mm-hmm. And I was reading him, and he said something like, "Don't worry what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and do that. Because what the world needs are people who have come alive." And that was a huge shift for me because my soul was really drawn to spirituality, but I felt like I was a bad person if I wasn't like out there on the front line being a political activist from my family training. And here was this man who was a hero of the civil rights movement saying, "Don't worry about what's going on in the world right now. Ask what's going to make you come alive, because unless you do something from your genuine passion itself, it's not going to help anyone anyway. You know, there's nothing worse than an angry peace activist." Mm-hmm. You know, like, it has to come from a calm inner place before it's going to affect anyone.
Yes.
Look at the great change makers in the world, the Martin Luther Kings, the Gandhis. These are spiritual beings who first went into the desert the 40 days like Jesus did, worked on their own rough edges so they weren't blaming the rest of the world. So that quote, "Ask what makes you come alive and do that, because what the world needs are people who have come alive," that was one of those swinging doors for me, where I was able to hook up my care for the world and my desire to heal myself.
That is powerful. I have to speak at Duke University for graduation for Gail's son, and I think I'll be taking that quote from Howard Thurman because that is powerful. In essence, you know, in all of my talks and speeches and seminars that I do for various groups and, you know, often asked to speak at graduations and things, that is the essence of what I always say, is that you must find a way to figure out what you love, which is saying basically the same thing, right? Find a way to get paid for what you love to do. And doing what you love to do is your offering to the universe. And that is what will be given to you.
Yeah.
That is what you will then receive. And I think, you know, it's one of the reasons why you've been as successful and I've been as successful is because we found a way to use what we have to do what we love. Karen, you had an aha moment in that first season of our Soul Series. That means you've been listening for a long time. Welcome.
You know, I have, Oprah. It was when Esther Hicks was talking about you're in a boat and you're rowing upstream.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you don't even need to turn the boat around. Just let go of the oars. And I thought, well, how long has this been going on, letting go of the oars? I was shocked, and I listened to the program, and I got off the phone, and I said, okay, I need to have a conversation with myself and find out why it is I didn't want to let go of the oars and why I didn't want to let it be easy. And the answer was shocking to me, and it was very revealing because it is our deep feelings that are dark inside of us that are what we are offering vibrationally to the world.
Wow, right.
And my answer was really simple, and it was two very simple things. And
what?
One of them was, if it's too easy, I'll die.
Mm.
And if I let go of the oars, my needs will not get met.
Wow.
And I realized that by not letting go of those oars, I was betraying my own integrity, which was the ally that I could have trusted and that was always there to support me.
All right. You know, I didn't even, you know, I hadn't even remembered that clip, but I'm going to play it right now.
Take your boat down to this river's edge with your paddles in, and they say most people deliberately turn the boat upstream and begin paddling very hard. And they say, why don't you just turn and go with the flow? And people say, well, that just seems lazy. And what Abraham's wanting us to understand is that everything that we want is downstream.
I'm smiling because I say that to my people all the time. And well, I don't have Abraham. And how did I know that if I don't have Abraham?
Well, I'm not sure you don't have Abraham.
Okay. I know that. But I use that exact phrase. I always say that there is a current to everybody's life and there is a flow in your own life. And if you're struggling, it means you're moving upstream. Turn around, find the flow.
And you don't even have to turn the boat and paddle downstream. Just let go of the oars. The current will carry you.
That's what I always say.
And see, so you know.
Wow. Karen, that's the moment. I'd forgotten that. You don't even have to turn the boat around. You just let go of the oars.
You know, it's so amazing. I really commend you for doing the Soul Series, Oprah, because one thing I got, particularly in your conversation with Daniel Pink, was when we were talking about conversation as being like the seventh sense.
Yes.
And I realized when he said that high vibration conversations, what they do is they shine light into the thoughts and into the feelings that really do live in the dark, and that when you do that, you begin to shift the energy.
So you go, Karen. You go, that is exactly what happens. You know, Karen, this is so interesting because beginning January 5th, we're going to do on the Oprah Show a week-long presentation called Live Your Best Life Week. And every day we're going to take another expert and then we're going to do webcasts the next week with them. And as I was doing promotional commercials for that today, I was sitting with my team and I was saying, you know, the one thing that I hope I can get across is in 2009, if I could just get this one point across to all of our listeners, viewers, is that everything carries energy.
Yes.
And that you are responsible for the energy that you hold and the energy that you carry. And that really what we're all creating here is an energy exchange. If we could just get people to understand that, I think we would be, you know, moving forward.
And you do that when you have the conversations with David Hawkins, Eckhart Tolle, Daniel Pink, because you're having high vibrational conversations and you're interjecting light. And the thing about darkness is it cannot exist where there is light. And everything is a vibration along the spectrum of light or dark. So the more light you put in there, the more it gets in there and the darkness cannot live. So you're doing it in how you show up every day for what you do.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for recognizing that and for being that in your own life. Because when you do recognize it, then you know you're responsible for the energy that you bring.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing that with us. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah. And you know that going in the direction that the river's already going. One of my first jobs in life, I was a midwife. I helped mm-hmm. deliver babies. And that was what I learned from my 10 years of doing that, was that women who fought the strength of labor, fought against it. I mean, that baby was coming out. She was already in the birth canal. And out of fear, if you fight what's going to happen. You delay the birth. And that's what we go through every day. We're already in this river. It's already going somewhere, paddling like a crazy person against it. Mm-hmm. Delays our rebirth. We can be reborn every day if we go in the direction that the river is already flowing.
Well, yeah, that's how I try to operate my life. But also one of the things that was a big aha for me during the process of a new earth, working with Eckhart this past spring, was I learned to really not just be in the moment, but to not resist what is. You know, that's also part of paddling, allowing yourself to let go of the oars, but to not resist what is, or not to try to defend against it.
Not to defend against
not
it,
because it already against
is. Because
it already is. And that when you defend against it, it's just like Karen was saying, defending against it creates another kind of vibrational energy.
Yeah, and it's not a very rational choice to defend against what is.
Yeah, not a rational choice at all. But also hard to not defend against, because you think, okay, does that mean I'm giving up? And there is a difference, learning the difference between surrendering it and letting it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can only learn that because that is a distinction, and that distinction, we have to choose that distinction every day.
Right.
But you can only learn it by practicing it.
Right.
So practice every day a little bit of let, you know, like take your hands off the oars for 2 seconds.
Right.
And then you can grab them again. And
right.
Then the next day, 10. That's really what meditation is. It is the practice of taking your hands off the oars. You sit in a quiet space, even if for 10 minutes, and you just surrender. You surrender to what is. And you watch your mind doing all of its little defensive moves. And as it does, thoughts come in, tells you things. You just let them go down the stream.
Bill, welcome to the show. Glad we have some spiritual men listening to the show.
Very spiritual. First off, I'd like to thank you, because for me, I don't know where I would have met or been introduced to all the different people that you've brought to the show. So for me, it's almost like a buffet, and I could just pick and choose who I resonated towards. And
Great, Bill.
Each time it would come back on, because I kind of live in the reruns,
mm-hmm.
Today something might touch me and something else wouldn't, and in 2 weeks of living, something would come up, and I'd hear a show over again. It's like, I didn't hear that the last time.
Right.
You know, this time it really grabbed me. But for me, starting off a bad childhood, so I didn't really believe in God, because, you know, there really couldn't be a God if this is happening to me. Then after going off into life with that outlook and two failed divorces, this last one got me to look at myself and point the finger at me and become open-minded. And when I did that, I started wanting to fix things, and I was just going to use plain Jane vanilla psychiatry. And in that came spirituality out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. So where I am now...
There's no such thing as out of nowhere, Bill.
Oh, tell me. So now I know that they both go hand in hand. I don't think you can have one without the other.
Correct.
So from that, you know, I stumbled onto XM radio, only for the music. Lo and behold, within an hour of getting it, I stumbled onto your show, and the music never came. It's been pretty much stuck on your show the whole time.
No, thanks.
From that, I've learned so much.
What's your biggest aha, would you say, if you had a big aha?
It would be Buddhism and just trying to understand everything. And I believe one of the quotes was, all a man's suffering stems from his sticky attachments to things. And trying to figure out what all that meant. So if you're struggling today on something, what is it about that you need to be either right, have it your way, be loved, you know, all of that? And when you really break it down and analyze it, you almost have to laugh at yourself for making such a big deal out of nothing.
Right.
And it's just made life so much easier. Like Elizabeth says, you know, you have all the tools, you have a knowing. It's really hard to live it sometimes. But
right.
Having the tools and you run into something that's going on today, where before it would ruin my day, now it's just real easy to figure out.
Yeah, isn't that the difference, Bill? See, that for each of you who's listening to us, the difference is that now you know that there is a better way. And so even when you're off course, as I get off course many times, you know, my faith and my knowing lets me know that I don't have to be off course for long, you know?
Brings you back into alignment.
Brings you back in. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But as Elizabeth was saying, it is a practice. It is yeah, something you have to absolutely practice.
In Islam, in the Sufi path, which is a branch of Islam, they call the main practice zikr, which is translated as remembrance. Prayer is remembrance. You just bring yourself back so you remember, oh, yeah, I forgot. That's who I really am.
Mm-hmm.
That's the choice I can make. And I love that the word for prayer means remembrance.
Bill, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much. Pema Chodron, she was on. Isn't she something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've met hundreds of teachers over the years at Omega, as you have too. And Pema Chodron is one of my favorites. And the litmus test for me of who do I resonate with is sort of a sense of nobility and genuineness.
Mm-hmm.
Like a real strength of character, like, oh my goodness, there's somebody special in the room. But at the same time, they don't think they're special. They have an ordinariness to them. And she is a prime example of that.
Well, what's interesting about all of this is because we've had a number of spiritual teachers in the past years here on Soul Series. And something that Bill said, I think, is really important. Everybody is saying the same thing. Everybody is saying the same thing. But also on our Soul Series, but honoring that there are many different routes to the path. And that some people might resonate with you and others may not. I mean, I love what Esther Hicks and Jerry Hicks have to say. I wasn't clicking with Abraham. I wasn't clicking with Abraham, but what they were saying was resonating with
mm-hmm.
me.
Yeah, I'll be amazed. I'll be at a conference that we're putting on. Someone will be speaking, and I'll be backstage thinking, we shouldn't have invited him. He's not really making sense. And then he'll get a standing ovation, and people will say, that was the best thing I've ever heard. And some people won't like it. And this is why I think it's wonderful we have the diversity of religions in the world, spiritual paths, psychological traditions, because everyone's different. Everyone's had a different conditioning. And even though it's the exact same message year after year, eon after eon, different times require different language and different reference points. And, you know, George Carlin, who passed away this year, who I love so much, he said, just when I found out the meaning of life, they changed it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it is. Just when we think we understand a cosmic truth, it requires a different.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I've always been so supportive of, everybody knows that I'm a big supporter of Barack Obama, and I'm not here to talk politics. I won't talk politics. But one of the reasons why I embraced him early on is because I could sense his truthfulness in being open to the diversity of thought that each of us brings, and that recognizing that many people we all have different paths, but we still have this united idea.
Yeah,
wanting peace and happiness in our lives.
I look at it as democracy has created a new way of searching for the sacred.
Yes.
We're democratic beings now. Most of us in the world have been part of the democratic process long enough where we value diversity. We want to choose.
Yeah.
And I think
that is the way you're going to have to be if you're going to live in the new world. Yes.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I absolutely do. And I do think that we won't go into politics, but I do think he represents the new consciousness that we're reaching, that the speed of sound and the cockpit is vibrating.
Absolutely.
And a new consciousness wants to be born.
Absolutely.
And the old way is fighting. That's what always happens.
And that, to me, is really what the election boiled down to. It boiled down to new consciousness versus old. It's a new way of being in the world versus old. All right, we're on our Soul Series, and we're talking to Elizabeth Lesser. Amy, I understand you have a new perspective on life based in part on the Soul Series. Tell me how that happened.
Well, absolutely. Thank you very much, both of you. For those of us who listen and are paying attention, these teachings are dramatically life-changing. And for myself, last year we were divorced after 21 years, and through listening to Mr. Tolle, Wayne Dyer, Marianne Williamson, the whole group, I felt like they were a life ring that helped me break through the surface of the water and brought me back up to clearer vision.
Wow.
And I have two children.
So well said, too. Are you a writer?
Well, I am now.
Okay.
But, and that's another thing, is that once you start living these principles, the people and opportunities that come into your life are amazing. Once you believe in yourself enough that you can follow what is being taught. But Mr. Tolle's very presence lent such credibility to what he says. There is no denying that he lives in the now at every moment.
No denying.
And having the webcast was so helpful, because watching him, I almost expected him to just float away at any moment. He's so unburdened and so clear and clean and light in his life.
I would have to say that of all the people I have met in my entire life on the planet Earth, as far as I know, I've never encountered anybody that even kind of comes close to that kind of energy that you are describing. And that is exactly, you know, many times I would come into our set, and it would just be, he would just be sitting there, quietly sitting there, and it would just be the cameraman, and hair and makeup would be over on the other side. And, you know, we did this with no audience, and he would just be absolutely content with himself.
Oh, no, it radiates from him.
I mean, not a hustle, not a bustle, not a hair comb, not a nothing. Just content with himself. And when
what I try to remember in my day-to-day life, when I'm tempted to hurry my children along or push them, go, 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 I remember what Eckhart Tolle said, this is their now.
Yes.
Just slow down, take a breath. This is not just my now, it's their now.
That's such a great gift you're giving to them. Oh. I think his work applied to parenting could transform families.
Well, why can't we have an Omega Institute for our future generations? How important. Talk about a new earth. It's one thing for me to be 46 and learning all of this, but what if it became intrinsic in our children and they could grow up knowing this to be true?
Yeah, well, you know, there are actually wonderful programs starting now in schools where they're teaching mindfulness. Jon Kabat-Zinn, whose work we played earlier, he actually has started programs of non-spiritually aligned meditation, just pure meditation for children to learn how to come into the stillness of moments. And but I think where it really starts is with parents modeling what you're talking about. So it just really touches my heart that you are giving them their moment and slowing down to their pace.
You know, when I first started...
Thank you, both of you, for bringing it. It's wonderful.
May I say that when I first started to discover this, my own personal journey of spirituality, 20-odd years ago, I was so excited. I was so turned on and open to life because of it. I actually considered having... I would talk to Gail. Gail was like, don't you want to have children? Don't you have children? And I used to say, the only reason I'd want to have children is to be able to bring up children in this way. Because I felt the same as you. Like, oh my God, I'm 30-something discovering this. What if you were 10? What if you were 10 and you knew this? And Gail would say, well, that's no reason to have kids. So now I have, you know, classrooms full of girls who I am, you know, teaching this path of self-discovery, spirituality, a way of being in the world that causes you to not just take responsibility for yourself, but to understand that you are a part of the whole. In Africa, they call that the spirit of Ubuntu. Mm. I am because we are. And so there's a program actually called Spirituality for Kids that I'm having put in my school in Africa, and I know they run that program in the United States. But I couldn't agree with you more. more, that there's no better time to start learning these principles of empowerment than when you're young.
And the most important thing, because a lot of people called in during the Eckhart Tolle event and when I had the radio show afterwards, mm-hmm. lots of parents called in saying, how do I do it? How do I do it? How do I teach them this?
You be it.
And you be it.
You be it.
That's where children learn this.
Have you found that with your own children? Have you found that with your own children?
Well, I'm trying. They're 10 and 13.
Oh, so fantastic.
I think they're right at that age where this could make a difference. But I can't wait to see what your girls, it could change politics. It could change everything. It's amazing when you think about the possibilities here.
Yeah, it's a process. It's a process. But even you know, at my school, the first time I said we wanted to do it, and the program is called literally SFK, Spirituality for Kids, we wanted to do it. Resistance from teachers, resistance from parents, because everybody's afraid. Well, what does this mean? What are they? So, yes, it's a process. It's a process. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so Sunil, is that your name, Sunil?
Yes, Sunil.
Hi, Sunil. Your aha moment?
Wow. Thank you. Thank you both. I've been listening to, I listened to the entire first archive, and I've listened to Elizabeth probably about three times, just because I wanted to really sink into my very being, the words she was saying. And I have several aha moments. One was when she said, when you resist a change, you make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, there were some things going on with my family where I was thinking, why isn't this person changing? Why aren't they doing things differently? You know, it's this person's fault. They need to change. And it really forced me to ask, what can I do? It's mm-hmm. not about the other person, but it's about me. And that just, I mean, it was a complete shift. It just changed everything.
I love that shift, when that shift thing happens.
It was just completely an amazing shift for me. And so even with my children, with my husband, instead of saying, okay, you know, why aren't you responding in a way I like you to respond, I started to say, what can I do in this situation? How can I make it better? Hmm. And then he started to change. And so it was like, okay,
yeah,
all right, I got that. With my 4-year-old, my 7-year-old, you know, something would happen and they were very angry and they responded in a way I thought was very negative. And I'd say, you know, why are you doing that? You know, and my initial thought was, you should be acting this way, you know, it's not that bad. But instead, I allowed them to speak and to say, you know, what's really going on with them. And so, I just made a complete change in the way I responded to things that were going on in my life. And
well, what you're talking about is what we started out the show talking about with Karen, actually. What you're saying, essentially, is every time you would step back, look inside yourself, question, think about, and be a different way, you were changing your vibrational frequency. You're really changing the energy in the space that you were holding.
Absolutely.
And when you change the energy in the space that you're holding, as Karen said to us earlier, it changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It really does. Yeah.
I like the way...
Thank you for saying that, though.
I like the way biologists talk about how, you know, we have this fight or flight syndrome still mm-hmm. wired into our reptilian brain that worked way back then when most of our energy was being put toward survival.
Mm-hmm.
Either you fought something that came your way or you ran away from it because you had to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in that most of the time, but we're still reacting from that part of the brain where your husband does something you don't like. You either like want to fight him or run away. And there is another choice in our more evolved way of being. We can, as you said so beautifully, you can just allow that person to be who they are for a moment, to grant them the dignity of their being instead of immediately reacting. So I'm so glad you took that to heart and are practicing it in your life. That's great.
Thanks, Sunil.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Hope you'll join us the first week of January, January 5th through the 16th. The 5th, and then we're all that week, and then the next week we're going to be doing webcasts with spiritual teachers and experts, because I believe that the spiritual path is, you know, that is the only journey. And once you get that right, or at least you're moving in the right direction, everything else falls into place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the things I had heard that Sunil was going to talk about is one of my spiritual pillars is gratitude. You know, through everything, what I've discovered, understanding that this too shall pass, but also in the moment being grateful for whatever it is, mm-hmm. because as Maya Angelou used to say to me, that God always puts a rainbow in the clouds, and when you recognize mm-hmm. that in the moment of crisis, be able to say thank you to that crisis.
Yeah, yeah.
Because on the other side is victory.
And you know, we hear that and we think, oh, good people are grateful. But it's really not a should.
It's not
like you should be grateful. It really becomes a natural response if you start accepting what's going on in your life and you see, oh my God, that thing I was so afraid of that I thought was so terrible, it actually taught me the greatest lesson of my life. And you practice that over and over. You begin to become naturally, not in a forced Pollyanna way, you become naturally grateful.
All the time. I still keep a grateful journal. And even when I don't write it down, I'm always thinking about what I'm grateful mm-hmm. for. So it's always great being able to talk to you, Ms. Elizabeth Lesser.
Likewise.
Always, yeah. On the radio or just on the telephone.
Thank you.
Really. Everybody, thank you for listening to us again on Oprah and Friends, XM 156. Bye. I hope you enjoyed this edition of our Soul Series. These are some of my favorite conversations.
To hear more, sign up for a free 30-day XM Radio trial by going to www.xmradio.com/Oprah.